Hardware and Garden Store.
No, John, you should sing it.
Rolling.
Rattaloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1278.
Holy crap!
Broadcasting throughout the world, and we really need to re-examine whether we should do one every day. It's, it's March 19th, 2024. 79 degrees on this day in 2012. That's about the sixth day in a row. 2012 was a marvelous spring. It was just beautiful. Mm. And this is, by the way, the first day of spring for 2024. 15 below on this day in 1875. Although I will note, on behalf of the Royal Order of 21sters, whose members live in all 50 states and around the world, that we've been celebrating spring since before Christmas. So this is just gravy to us. Thank you. How are you? Nice to see you. And let's hear the song.
Hail the Flashlight King.
Hail you!
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your Flashlight King, Fireworks Commissioner, and the Keeper of Common Sense, your Mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Sir, sunset, 7:25 p.m. tonight.
Well, we've gained. It's light out till 8:15 for Pete's sake.
That's when I go to bed, Matthew.
Good night, honey.
It turns out we're not going to have to worry about our driving gas-powered cars. It turns out we're not going to have to worry about using air conditioning in our homes or using too much electricity because we're destroying the earth. No, it turns out that the Atlantic Ocean could be swallowed by a terrifying ring of fire. And this is according to science, because they've discovered a sleeping subduction zone beneath the Gibraltar Strait.
Yeah, they're laying down some serious
That could swallow the Atlantic Ocean. It's located beneath the Gibraltar Strait. That's that narrow gap of water between Spain and Morocco.
Impossible. Isn't that covered by Freddie Smut?
No. And it was a Daily Mail piece that Jordy alerted me to. I didn't click on it because I knew it'd be 42 pages long. But that's the kind of thing we should. You know, you want to worry about something?
Yeah.
Worry about the Atlantic. Think of all the stuff you'd find.
You get some pretty cool ships.
See, if the Atlantic Ocean dried up, and you stood on the shore of New Jersey, for example, you'd be looking out, and but there would be a big hole in the earth. There as opposed to, let's say, White Bear Lake dried up, and you stood on the shore, and you looked out, you might as well be looking across a farm field.
Okay.
Do you get the difference?
I do. White Bear, and it's
shallow shelf, calls it a shallow shelf lake, as are most lakes in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Shallow shelf, meaning that if you looked out across it in the event it dried up, you'd see nothing but a field. Because you wouldn't be, your eye wouldn't take into account the slow descension of the earth.
My question for your Atlantic being swallowed up.
Well, don't count on me.
Where did all the water go?
It would go into the black hole, the subduction zone. It would go into the middle of the earth.
And then go be recycled from the Itasca? Through the
I look like I would know the answer
to
that?
I don't know, but it pains me, and I can't get over the mathematical equation that the Mississippi River just keeps giving us water.
That's the way it works.
Where the hell is all that water
from? Tributaries.
From the ground.
It's tributaries, my friend.
From the water department. It comes from the water department.
Matthew, do you know what a tributary is?
Yes, it's when you pay homage to someone.
Exactly. You're exactly correct.
What is his tributary? Well, he's having a roast this weekend.
And if you'd like to help him out, GL Mansplainers, it's rookie at garagelogic.com.
Help me out. I need the email. I only get one email a day. I used to get a whole bunch of emails. I don't get emails anymore.
I have mentioned before the young activists who come up the driveway with their clipboards, and I find them unwelcome.
Even if they're listeners of the show, their
parents.
Well,
the dad was a listener.
Yeah.
But I got a great email from John who writes, I've had Greenpeace-type climate change activists with clipboards in hand at my South Minneapolis door over the years. I long ago came up with a different approach dealing with them. I'm stealing this guy's idea, by the way. We all should. I thank them, tell them how much I agree with them, and befriending them. Then I apologize profusely for being a baby boomer and destroying their world. At this point, they really like me. Next, I ask them if they've ever heard of the militant Hedonist Climate Society. Needless to say, they never have. I tell them I'm a member and we have scientifically determined that it is too late to save the human race from climate disaster. I use forms of the word science a lot. They seem to like that. I then tell them to look at all the cars down my street or on the freeways, all the planes in the skies, coal plants everywhere, Russia, India, China, etc., not doing anything for the climate. The very experts you look to give us just 5, 10 years, whatever. As a result, we hedonists have scientifically and logically decided it's too late for Mother Earth. We must live as excessively as possible to eradicate the human race as soon as possible. It's just the right thing to do so the Earth can heal. Therefore, we turn on our furnaces and air conditioners up as high as we can stand. We drive the biggest gas guzzlers, take lavish vacations, anything we can do to pollute the Earth faster. We even are scientifically studying if voluntary suicide is a possible alternative, as it will show how dedicated we are to ending humanity and bringing more people to our cause. I tell them it is something I am considering becoming a martyr for the cause. I always end with, we evil humans are not natural to this earth since we only destroy. I then look down at my little dog who is by my side. I tell the clipboarder that there will be collateral damage and it will be the poor animals we have selfishly domesticated over thousands of years for meat and companionship. If I could have had a tear in my eye as explained that, without the evil humans who domesticated them, they will probably not survive. They are always speechless at this point and just nodding silently. They turn around and wander off, always forgetting to ask for a signature or money. John O.
So he just wears them out.
Wears them out. Yeah. I had my neighbor.
Kill him with kindness.
My neighbor Chet did that to the, who were the King, missionaries?
The Mormons.
No.
Latter-day Saints.
Seventh-day Adventists?
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
They would come to they would come to his door, and he would say, come on in, come on in. And after 20 minutes, they're dying. They can't.
Yeah,
they're trying to get out. They're trying to get out. They can't. He won't let them go.
That's the great scene in the Book of Mormon. The kid goes out. He's going on his calls. They say, yeah, come on in. You thirsty? I'll have a Coca-Cola. You want a sandwich? Yeah, I'm hungry. Okay. Sit down there for 5 minutes, this uncomfortable silence. The homeowner says, what do we do next? The kid says, I don't know. I've never got this far. See, because they obviously shoo him away. You wouldn't understand you're not
right,
Mormon. You're not Mormon.
More of a highbrow.
Right.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. I know Mormons.
Hello?
The whole wife thing.
The media, the conventional news gatherers, are having quite a bit of fun by attempting to sell the idea that Trump said if he loses the election, there'll be a bloodbath. Some of these we're just going to have to take on.
Poor choice of words, though.
I watched him say it.
Didn't he say economic?
Absolutely. He's talking about Chinese. Well, here, let Scott, who's never afraid and always pushing back from Invergrove, say it. Orange Man was spot on with his assessment for what will happen if China gets their cars into the U.S. market via its building plants in Mexico. It will be a proverbial bloodbath for the big three, Ford, GM, and Stellantis. Another fellow member, he was at a luncheon club, is a guy named Tom Leonard, who owns Fury Motors. He was recently at a meeting in Detroit with other car dealers, and the talk was all about China's pursuit of manufacturing EVs in Mexico. Currently, China can't sell to the U.S., but via Mexico, they will have an end around into the U.S. auto market. Evidently, they can produce an EV comparable to one of the big three's $90,000 models for just around $40,000. Europe is currently lamenting the day they allowed Chinese cars into their markets. I find great irony as the UAW forced the big three to their knees last November, forcing 25% increases in wages and the bolstering of retirement benefits for their 150,000 rank-and-file members. These workers are also the very same workers who will religiously pull the Democratic ticket come November and will no doubt be the first ones bitching about the influx of low-priced Chinese vehicles.
Yep.
This time, Trump's hyperbole was spot on, like him or not, and folks better start paying attention to the influx of Chinese migrants at the southern border, the purchasing of millions of acres of farmland throughout the country by Chinese companies, and the continued funding of all of this country's ridiculously overspending on giveaway programs, noting that the annual interest rate alone is now more than our U.S. defense budget. Scott from Indra Grove. Trump clearly was talking about there'd be a bloodbath in the auto market. He doesn't know how to speak. He has no social skills, and he has no ability to self-edit. He's been pretty much psychologically destroyed at the age of 7. Nevertheless, he wasn't saying, if I lose the election, there's going to be blood on the streets.
But that didn't stop.
No. Yeah. He said, if I lose the election, you're going to face more and more of this type of effort to bring in underpriced Chinese cars, and then the auto workers are going to be out of a job, and on and on and on. It was quite clear. John, I think even John Haidt might agree with me.
We talked about it yesterday. Yeah, I didn't think there was anything.
It was ridiculous, and he's an idiot. But he's right. He's right in this regard.
Well versed in hyperbole. Yeah. You know, he speaks in hyperbole. And for those of us that thinks everything that comes from China that runs with a motor is junk, we were right. Were being the main word there. These new EVs that they're making, sounds like they're the real deal.
Well, fortunately, they're EVs, and the consumer might reject EVs no matter how low price China can make them. I'm old enough to remember when Japanese products were laughed at in this country.
Oh, God.
Just laughed at.
Best motorcycles and snowmobiles and trucks you can buy and cars. And
apparently our disdain for their products. That might have just hailed from Pearl Harbor. Right. Yeah. I mean, that could have been a post Pearl Harbor mentality, but and apparently that didn't let China get down. They just kept working and working and working, and pretty soon, you know, the nicest people you meet are on a Honda, and then they're just all coming, just everything. Yeah. And during the poor quality control of the American automobile industry in the 70s, China was edging its nose in with
Japan.
Japan was edging in with much better quality control.
Yep, without a doubt.
And now our cars, as I said yesterday, every car is pretty damn good. Everyone.
But isn't the much larger issue, though, is what was taken out of context and run with for, 36 hours?
Oh, it's being run with to this moment. People can't wait to use bloodbath in a headline. But to me, and I watched it, and I don't like the guy, so I was willing to go the other way on this, but he was talking about the auto industry.
And he was right.
Yeah. What are you gonna
do? That's not going to stop either. All the way up until the election. You guys agree with that, don't you?
Of course I do. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to watch if some foreign concern steps in and says, hey, Don, we'll support you that $450 million you need for your bond. I think that would be I would call that a problem.
In exchange for what?
That would be the problem. That would be the problem.
But he traditionally has not been a friend of China, if you remember, during his administration.
Right.
There was a lot of beefs with China and trade with China.
But he, you know, what if Putin gave him $450 million? I'm not saying that's in the cards.
He'd take it.
I'm not saying that's he'd take it in a heartbeat.
How do you know he hasn't already?
There is a black helicopter scenario out there that he's been in their pocket for 30 years.
Really?
That they've taken care of some of his debt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
$400 million.
From us.
The safe.
Yeah.
Well, I there's no, that's just, I'm just
that's speculation.
Riffing. There's no, right. There's no evidence of that yet, but
don't even say yet. There's evidence of that.
I think the word is yet. He ain't going to sell Mar-a-Lago for 10 cents on the dollar. If he does, I'm putting in a bid.
You'd buy it?
I'd buy it.
Okay.
With a nice little event center there.
Right. You wouldn't last 2 days there.
Event.
No, why wouldn't I last 2 days?
You can't go anywhere but home.
That would be home. That'd be my new house.
Would we all move in?
You'd be awfully lonely.
A lot of boats and stuff.
Oh, a podcast studio?
Yeah, I have a studio. Okay. Didn't Rush have a studio in Florida?
Who's going to cook your raviolis and lay out your shirt and pants
every
day?
Nobody lays out clothes for me,
Do your laundry and wash your dishes.
I know how to do the laundry.
Darn your socks.
I don't. I'm like Jerry Lewis. If the socks need darning, out they go.
Out they go. Give them to the dog.
Jerry Lewis wore a new pair of socks every day.
That's really...
Isn't that a dumb thing for me
excessive.
To know?
That's extravagant.
Well, how do you know this? Why are you doing so much in-depth detail on
I read it somewhere.
Hey, lady!
Hey, lady!
You know what he was? He was an aristocrat.
Yeah, he was. We have a local transgender weightlifter going through the courts. A Ramsey County District Court needs to reconsider whether USA Powerlifting violated the Minnesota Human Rights Act when it barred a transgender woman from competition.
Boy, I hate to lose to her.
In a split ruling Monday, the Minnesota Court of Appeals said a trial was needed to determine if the nation's leading drug-tested powerlifting organization discriminated against J.C. Cooper because she is transgender. The decision overturns a Ramsey County District Court judge who ruled last year there was enough evidence to show discrimination without the case going to trial. So this transgender weightlifter has not won anything at this point. Mm. But you look at the headlines in today's news gatherers locally. It makes it sound like the weightlifter has just won a big court case. And I got a note from a judge who says the media is not biased. Gender Justice says its client won the appeal. So Carol Evan and most others print that as the headline. To be clear, the majority reversed the district court's decision in favor of Gender Justice's client. We did not affirm. No wonder people have no idea what is going on in this state. In other words, the appeal resulted in instructions to, this is going to have to be settled by trial. And why a transgender weightlifter gets to compete with women is beyond my understanding. USA Powerlifting had argued it barred Cooper from a competition because she went through puberty as a male and had a physiological advantage over other female competitors. Jess Braverman, legal director for Gender Justice, which is helping to represent Cooper, said they are considering an appeal of Monday's decision. We want folks to know it's illegal in the state of Minnesota to discriminate against transgender people. Cooper filed a complaint with the Minnesota Department of Human Rights in 2019 after she was not allowed to participate in a woman's bench press competition. She had applied for a waiver from the organization's drug-free policy while taking spironolactone, a gender-affirming therapy that lowers the amount of testosterone in the body.
Gender-affirming therapy. Interesting phrase.
Mm-hmm. I say, being the simple mind that I am, if you're a transgender woman who was born a male, you ain't competing against women in a powerlifting competition.
Amen. Right. Sorry.
And if you're pretending now you're a female, but you were born a male, you're not competing in a high school basketball game against a gal. What's the point? Have your own tournaments.
And that's what the powerlifting organization said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So... And what the transgender community does, you may foghorn that.
Okay.
What the transgender community does is use these kinds of episodes to reinforce the idea that they're special. And by special, they mean they're being discriminated against. They're being marginalized. I would say to J.C. Cooper, I have every reason in the world to cheer for you as a power lifter. If you're competing against other men who are pretending that they're women.
Well, she doesn't have a chance with the men. That's why she's trying to compete against the women. I mean, I'm sorry to be so brunt, but that's the simple fact
it's
of the matter.
It's the Leah Thomas situation all over again, right?
Men and women thing. Yeah. Are different physiologically.
Yeah. So what do you have to say to Jennifer Frisch, Joe, the appeals court judge? She said it was clear that Cooper was discriminated against because she's transgender.
I think she just is a judge who's consumed the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, she's been cowed.
She's been cowed. Well, I have to look at something here. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm looking at. I'm looking at EcoFund. Yeah. Big snow forecast in the weather, but that wouldn't stop me from getting to EcoFund and checking out the spring lineup. What a fun. Have you ever been in their new store?
It's really fun.
It's big. It's just west of 35E on Northern 97 Metro. In Forest Lake. Yep. E-bikes are on sale. Vespa scooters are on sale. Yamahas are on sale. Kawasaki UTVs. Pre-season sale on youth ATVs. You know, and I've always got my eye on something. Tim always tempts me with something, and now it's the damn Moto Guzzis. The motorcycles are on sale. 10 to 15% off all 2023 models in stock. I've already picked out some youth stuff I have to arrange for delivery to a certain location. I love this store. Helmets, apparel, great service. It's the e-bike capital of the world. Great big new smooth parking lot. There's no excuse to leave there without the wrong e-bike because you can do all the test driving in the world. It's EcoFunMotorsports.com, and EcoFun Motorsports is located on Highway 97 just west of 35E as you get into that Forest Lake area.
You know, the investment game can be awfully tricky, especially in these volatile times. And that's why you need the best and also somebody that you can trust. And that's why I rely on Josh Arnold. We know him as Mr. Money Talk around these parts, and he's here for you. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute, no-obligation consultation by dialing 952-925-5608. 952-925-5608. Josh has been at this a long time with a track record of success, and he's here to help you. So give him a call today. No obligation. That's right. No obligation. It's absolutely free. 952-925-5608. And tell them you heard about them here on the Garage Logic podcast.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
The emails keep rolling in on how effective Seafoam has been and how it changed their life. GLers, you guys love talking about Seafoam. And the reason is simple. It works fast and it's really easy to use. And the letters are always the same. I didn't believe you because you're kind of a dummy. Well, you're a total dummy. But I tried it anyway, and wouldn't you know it, I put it in and it really changed my life. All you have to do is dump it in and go. The results are immediate and long term. It saves you. It's an insurance because it saves you money and time. Seafoam cleans and lubricates critical engine parts so that engine will run better and last longer. And really, that's all we ask for out of our daily drivers. You can get this stuff everywhere too. Auto parts stores, big retailers, small retailers, NAC hardware stores all over the land. It's even in grocery stores. Check it out. You can find it everywhere. A wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Seafoam.
Alpha News has it. I don't think the other media in town have it yet. Ricky Cobb's family is demanding $25 million from the taxpayers of Minnesota. Ricky Cobb was the fellow shot by Trooper Ryan Londergren, who Mary Moriarty is attempting to try for murder when all he was doing was his job, in my estimation. In a letter dated Feb 15 of this year, a month ago, attorneys for the family of Ricky Cobb accused the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, the Minnesota State Patrol, and State Trooper Ryan Londergren of being liable for Mr. Cobb's wrongful death. Well, I don't think it was wrongful. As such, Cobb's family is seeking $25 million in damages from two agencies, according to a copy of the letter obtained by Alpha News. Ricky Cobb II, a convicted felon who allegedly had ties to a Minneapolis gang, was shot and killed by Trooper Londrigan last summer. On July 31 of last summer, Cobb attempted to flee law enforcement in a vehicle while another state trooper was half inside, half outside the vehicle. In response, Londrigan shot Cobb as his fellow state trooper was dragged for a short distance by Cobb's vehicle. In January, Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty announced that her office would file charges against Londrigan. Since then, the case has attracted significant attention, particularly surrounding Moriarty's handling of the case. Public officials across Minnesota have called for the charges against Londrigan to be dismissed, while various police associations have asked Walz, Governor Walz, to remove the case from Moriarty's office. And Walz, something or someone has gotten to Walz.
Yes.
He's gone from meeting with Cobb's family to now acknowledging that there are problems here with the prosecution of this case.
Are they reading the tea leaves? They've checked which way the wind is blowing? Do you think that's what it is?
He did it, too, with the case that he told Ellison to step in.
Well,
remember?
Yeah, I do remember. I don't remember the case.
There's a specific problem, though, with Ellison stepping in here, because it's Ellison's job to defend the state against cases like this. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty hard. That's a conflict of interest. He can't both defend and prosecute.
Oh, John, see if you can find it. Ellison has already taken a case away from Moriarty.
It was an African-American female who was killed, and Moriarty was going to go light on the shooter.
Zaria McKeever, remember, was shot. It was the kid she was going to charge less than his partner because he was younger.
That's right.
His brain hadn't been developed.
Yes, exactly. Thanks.
Retaining the services of South Carolina-based Strom Law Firm, the family of Ricky Cobb is now seeking compensation. In a demand letter, a lawyer working for the family said Mr. Cobb's injuries and death were caused directly and proximately by the intentional, willful, and wanton conduct of Ryan Londrigan, the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and the Minnesota State Patrol, to which I would say to the lawyer, go bleep yourself. Specifically, the letter accuses Trooper Londrigan of using force that was excessive and unreasonable. Well, so is tearing away in a car. Further, the letter says DPS and the State Patrol are liable for negligent actions and omissions. This is further proof we have too many lawyers. And that the agencies engage in, because you're always going to be able to find one to come up with this BS, engage in conduct and actions that directly cause the death of Cobb. As compensation, the letter demands $25 million for the injuries caused by Londrigan, the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, and the Minnesota State Patrol's outrageous and intolerable conduct. I don't think it was outrageous or intolerable.
No.
Strom Law Firm did not return a phone call seeking comment. DPS, which has several divisions, including the State Patrol, also did not respond to a request for comment.
What are we to assume by the fact that they had to go all the way to South Carolina to get a law firm?
It's Bakari's. No, it's not, but Bakari Sellers is the lawyer handling it, if you're familiar with him. He's on Twitter a lot. He's been on CNN, and he takes cases of this sort nationally and always has. So I'm guessing that law firm must deal with cases like this on occasion. So it doesn't name it in that story by Alpha, but I know in the past I've seen it's Bakari Sellers who's representing the family.
Well, nothing's going to become of this until the issue of Londrigan's guilt or innocence is determined, right?
Is that maybe why they're doing it now, before there is a verdict?
Yeah, because remember they paid George Floyd's family before there was
a verdict. That's right. They did do that.
The city did.
Yep. Which certainly would have seemed to have had an influence on the outcome.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Walz is saying he told this to Axios, which is a Twin Cities news site. But I think there's an Axios in every city, isn't there?
It's a national outlet, but they do have local.
Well, what are they locally? Is there a building where they are? Or who are these people? What is Axios?
They're very similar to Alpha News in their production, right? It's an online publication.
It's some kid living in a studio apartment next to Loring Park.
Well, if he did, he got a quote out of Walls, who said, it's no secret I've had many disagreements with the Hennepin County attorney, and I will say I have concerns on this case now, he told reporters. I'm going to wait and see what the judge says coming out on this interpretation on this expert witness, but I have concerns. Walls, when have you had many disagreements with Moriarty? That's news to me. You've met with her and Cobb's family.
Yeah, he just says stuff to get votes, Joe.
He's the State Patrol's top executive, you know.
He opens his mouth and manure falls out. It's just nonsense from him on every level.
Walls and Moriarty clashed last year, apparently, when outcry over plea deals for juvenile defendants in a murder case prompted the governor to take the... that's when he reassigned the... So it was the governor who took it away from Mary and gave it to Keith Ellison.
Correct, yeah.
He saw which way the political wind was blowing, Joe.
It's unclear whether Ellison could take this case since the defendant was employed by a state agency at the time of the shooting. Walls spokesperson told Axios that the governor had received a letter from the Minneapolis Police or the Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association and was reviewing the request. A hearing on the defense's request to force Moriarty to turn over some more documents related to the expert opinion is scheduled for March 21st. So on March 21st, Londergren's lawyers are saying to the judge, could we please have more material so we can learn why she's refusing to believe her own use of force expert?
Right. That's a gotcha. She got gotcha'd.
Because she's maintaining that just because I brought in this expert and he said what he said doesn't mean I have to abide by it.
Can the defense call him in then?
That's a good point.
Staff legal expert. We really do.
Well, his lawyer has been our frequent guest. Yeah, but I suppose we can't use him during this period.
Right.
Peter Wold is a friend of mine.
It'd be hell of a
scoop. He's defending Londergren.
And you have to remember, when it comes to Ellison, he's had some success at sending law enforcement to jail.
Yep.
Both with Derek Chauvin and Kim Potter.
There's not a doubt in my mind that Londergan was the kind of juicy episode that the likes of Moriarty were waiting for. Oh, not a doubt in my mind that she wants to put away, because she would not have done this if the trooper had been black and the Ricky Cobbs was white. There's not a doubt in my mind she would not have done it.
Correct.
She is an oppressed versus the oppressor cavewoman. It all boils down to that for her. She might as well be a cavewoman.
But
me oppressor, you oppressed.
It doesn't seem very likely that Ellison will end up with the case.
I mean,
that's such a conflict of interest that whatever the result would have to be tossed.
Right.
Mistrial. You can't do both.
Because Londergren is a de facto employee of Ellison.
Correct.
I'm doing my best with this microphone, Chris, but it doesn't want to stay put.
I see that. We'll address that matter.
First day on the job?
No, Kenny, but tomorrow might be the first day that I continue to take. What's that?
You need a staff.
I don't want that.
Well, is your wrist holding up the microphone?
I got it, Matt.
You are one effed up individual.
Tomorrow
you are effed up.
Might be the first day I come to work armed with the pliers.
We got pliers here.
I've tried to find them before. There's no pliers department.
You got to go to the
pliers department.
We need a tool department.
You need a plier division.
I mean, where's the plier division? Yes. Get the television department up here.
Shop guys will get you up pliers.
You want to do Johnny Heights News?
I do.
Can I tell you about Sioux Falls first?
I'd love to hear about Sioux Falls.
Well, it's just maybe they're not, there's probably no one doing a show in Sioux Falls listing all of these problems in their environs, because Sioux Falls has it going on. And if you're thinking about moving your company or relocating it or starting a new branch, you might want to think of Sioux Falls, if for nothing else, the lower tax bills. Check it all out. Everybody who's gone there has started with this website, all one word, SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. Lots of information to help you make a Sioux Falls decision. You can get your operation up and running quickly in Sioux Falls. There's a ready workforce. You'll make higher profits. There'll be lower taxes. The National Tax Foundation's new index shows Minnesota at number 45. That means there's only five states taxing people more punishingly than Minnesota. But in Sioux Falls, South Dakota is number two, meaning there's only one state that's taxing people more than South Dakota taxes them. It's one of the best tax climates in the nation. If 2024 is the time to make your move, I'll miss you, but I sure as hell can't blame you. Consider Sioux Falls and learn everything you need to know at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
'Garage Logic' town council member. Here's what you're missing.
That's government music. It's garbage.
If he's writing, well, never mind. See,
but other Bob Seger songs are amazing.
John,
how is like a rock a government song?
It's a Chevrolet ad.
It's just it's used in the Chevrolet.
Are you more impressed with Priest that fold the towel after the hand washing, or just my senior son used to just go like this and just give it to the altar boy?
What the hell are you even talking about?
Here's the problem with us talking music. I was very excited about the five music deaths, and now I just think I shouldn't even do it because, you know.
What kind of cult church do you go to, you fellas? What is that?
Don't include me with his neuroses.
Go behind the scenes of Garage Logic with unfiltered audio and video access, invites to exclusive events, an emailed newsletter from the mayor himself, and more by signing up at GarageLogic.com.
What do I do? Don Pacino?
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life, Joe Souchere.
I got a great email from Colleen about Keller Tax Service. The subject line says, highly recommended. Hey, Chris, just wanted to let you and the GLers know that Linda, a.k.a. Mrs. Miller, was a pleasure to work with. My husband and I, mostly me, decided to hire a professional this year to prepare our taxes. Win-win. We're former Minnesotans, now living in Texas. No issues with loading up our documents, and within a week or so, we had a Zoom meeting with Linda to review the completed paperwork. Bing, bang, boom. Our Fed tax return is on the way to the bank, excuse me. Thankfully, we have no state tax. Sorry to rub it in, Joe. Even if we did, Linda would have knocked that out too. GLers, make sure you check out Linda for all of your tax needs. Thanks, GL, for having such a great advertiser as Linda. Well, while Viola, thank you, Colleen, for the great endorsement. And she's right. Linda Keller is the best. She handles 3/5 of the GL team and all of our tax returns. Johnny, I know you just got yours.
Just got my stuff back. Everything was smooth as silk. Everything worked great. Linda was wonderful to work with.
KellerTaxService.com is the website. You go on there. You can book your appointment. It doesn't matter if you're filing individually, out of state, as a family, as a business. She handles all types of returns, and she's also a GLer. So please make sure that you mention it. She also has Saturday appointments too, by the way. Make sure you mention that you heard about her and all of the GLers on the Garage Logic podcast.
You guys have ruined the word Viola so much. How do you say it?
Voila.
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 I like it because that was my grandmother's name was Viola.
Violet?
Viola.
Is that a name?
But
I thought that was a musical instrument.
Huh?
You gotta play the viola.
The cello.
Yes, Kenny?
Yes, Kenny.
Our stupidity, though, is it's not spelled viola. It's V-O-I.
Oh, uh-huh.
Voila.
Voila.
Here is John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. This update is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Governor Walz yesterday, he held that news conference. He was trying to talk about supplemental spending. As we've already noted, a lot of other things came up. So let's hit what he talked about. Among them, the charges against State Trooper Ryan Londrigan. The trooper has been charged in the shooting death, as we said, of Ricky Cobb III. Cobb is trying to pull away from a traffic stop, dragging officers with him when Londrigan shot him. Now, last Friday, the Police and Peace Officers Association sent a letter to the governor asking him to intervene and move the case to the office of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. At yesterday's news conference, Walz said he was reviewing the letter and the request. He said, "I do trust juries. I do trust the justice system. That's, at the end of the day, what needs to happen here. But a case needs to be put in front of them that needs to be fair." The governor was asked if he is seriously considering moving the case into the office of the attorney general. He said there's been statements and things that have been in this from the beginning that are concerning, so the option is always open. A spokesperson for the attorney general said in a statement the attorney general is reviewing the letter to the governor on which he was copied. Spokesperson for Moriarty's office also offered a statement that said, "We'd be happy to meet with the governor or his team to discuss any concerns they have about the rules of criminal procedure, the same rules our office follows and fulfills in thousands of cases every year. Otherwise, we will litigate this case in court, which is where it belongs." Governor also discussed the recent rideshare debacle in Minneapolis. He urged lawmakers to address rideshare driver pay in the state as Uber and Lyft announced they'll stop providing service in Minneapolis due to a new city ordinance. Walz said at the press conference, "We certainly want to see folks paid a fair wage for their work. We also want to make sure that wage structure allows for the business to go forward. I'm deeply concerned should the rideshare companies leave." All of this, remember, we talked about last week, came to a head after the city council passed a new pay rate for rideshare drivers who pick up, drop off, or pass through the city. A 10-vote council majority overrode Mayor Jacob Frey's veto. While Lyft plans to end service only for trips that start or end in Minneapolis, Uber plans to cut options for the entire metro area, including Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. The companies say the higher pay rate would pay them out, price them out of the market. Minneapolis City Council President Elliot Payne said last week the new rate is one a driver can raise a family on. There are several bills right now at the state capitol that address rideshare. A state report, by the way, calculated rideshare drivers would need to be paid to earn the Minneapolis city minimum wage of $15.57 per hour.
You can't raise a family on that.
Thank you. And the part, I was talking to somebody that worked for Uber who made the point. The whole point of Uber was this was supposed to be a side hustle for people. This isn't supposed to be full-time work.
I know a guy who did it for 6 weeks. And he listens to the show, and he said, you're overstating the number of drinkers they take off the road. His experience found that most of his clients were young people going to work.
Really?
Really. Hmm. Did he work in the morning?
At jobs that also weren't intended to have you support a family. This whole notion has left the barn, and we can't put it back. This is absurd but this is what the mystery wants. When they invent their new country, they want the Lyft driver to make as much as the guy curing cancer.
Two things. The clientele that works for me at the airport or works at the airport, many of them do not have their own transportation. So they rely on light rail, public transportation, or hard on Uber. If they're late, it's Uber left and right.
Yeah.
And number two, the amount of Uber drivers that go to the airport for passengers, it's just too easy. The taxi system has been broken, and that's why Uber and Lyft made such an impact. Because taxis were like newspapers. Nah, they're always going to need taxis. They didn't adjust.
Yep.
State Board, St. Paul Board of Education is set to vote on a new contract with educators in the district today. Members of the teachers union voted to approve the deal last week. Prior to that, the teachers were ready to strike. If it's approved, the contract, it's a 2-year deal that'll be in place. The new contract will include a 4% increase in salaries next year for licensed staff, service professionals, and educational assistants, and pay bumps this school year as well. The deal also includes improved health insurance, capped class sizes, fewer cases for early childhood special education teachers, and other changes. The board meets at 5:30 tonight for the final vote on that. Star Tribune reporting the 4th Street Saloon, a North Minneapolis nightlife spot that's been a West Broadway mainstay but dogged by crime in and near the establishment, will be ending its decades-long run at the end of the month.
Oh, no.
General Manager Mike Oker announcing on social media yesterday, it's true, we are closing our doors after 37 amazing years of serving our North Minneapolis family. We will miss everyone so much, and thank you for making the 4th Street Saloon a great place to be for so many years. Northside for life. Oker's posting did not explain what led the decision to shut down the business on Broadway. It's just west of Interstate 94. Yeah. He also didn't mention what will become of the space. Shootings, sometimes fatal, and other violence have occurred on or near the property for many years, despite the saloon beefing up security and posting warning signs outside that police have a 24-hour video surveillance in place.
I have a question about that entire area, because wasn't that also, Kenny, help me, where we closed down the liquor store next to the gas station. What's going to be left of that area?
What's going to be left of Minneapolis?
Okay. I don't know.
Or St. Paul.
Why don't we take a break here and hear from Rook, see what he's got to tell us.
We can do that. We got some snow coming. We got cooler temperatures. If that thermostat is sticking to that 62 degrees and you want it at 69, 70, 75, you need to get in touch with Welter right now before the storm. It's not going to be a horrible storm, but you shouldn't mess with your heating. If your furnace is not working the way it should, if maybe the thermostat, whatever the problem is, get in touch with WelterHeating.com. They've been around for over 120 years. They've seen these snowstorms. They've seen the droughts. They've seen the heat. They've seen the cold. And that's why their certified techs can work on any of your heating units, cooling units, air purification system. And four generations of Welter family, yep, they get along. Now, the family hasn't been perfect, probably a couple of fights in the boardroom here and there every once in a while. But basically, when you work for 120 years and it's four generations, everybody's getting along fine, and they have a great Thanksgiving dinner. 612-825-6867, that's the phone number where a human being will answer during business hours. If you want to go online to schedule an appointment, that's super easy. Request now. Click on that icon at welterheating.com. For over 120 years, they've been air conditioning or heating your shelter. Remember, Ray and Welter online at welterheating.com.
We haven't had many roofers join us on Garage Logic, but Pete is with us from Hire a Pro, and he wants to explain to you how they do what they do.
Joe, all a roofing company is an LLC acting as a GC that hires subs and gets their materials from a supply house. When Hire a Pro helps you on your storm damage claim, you get our discounts for materials, and the labor is provided by a licensed and insured crew that doesn't skip on the warranty. This lets you act as your own GC so you can keep what a roofing company would take in profits. So tell me, if the options were us or someone with no transparency who takes all the money, would you go anywhere else?
Probably not.
Last year, our homeowners, other GLers like you listening today, kept an average of $5,600 all for acting as their own GC. They trusted Hire a Pro because we don't door knock, we don't solicit, and we don't push contracts. You tell us when you're ready to go, and we've got your back.
So if insurance has approved your roof replacement, give these guys a call at 651-402-3400 or visit them online at hire-a.pro. That's hire a, and then put the dot there, Pro.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
Hard to keep track here. The winter that never was is over. I think it was false spring now over, but well, now real spring.
Today, meteorologically, is the first day of spring.
And then we're going to get 2-3 feet of snow this weekend.
Good. We never know. Nature's fickle.
None of that matters. Don't worry about any of that, because the crabgrass, the weeds, they're all coming early. They'll be here early April. That means summer will be here early. If you want or desire, or if you've ever dreamt about having the best lawn on the block, it's so easy. Log on to ProfessionalTurf.com. They're a Minnesota lawn care company that's been at it since 82. Whatever you do, don't send that lawn care renewal contract back to that company that screwed you last year. Go with the company that GL uses, the company that has service techs with over 20 years of experience. These techs service the same routes every year, and I guarantee you they know your lawn better than you do. Let them take care of it. All you have to do is get on that website, schedule a free in-person lawn care analysis. They'll give you an estimate. They'll come out. They won't do it on the phone. And then get ready to have the best lawn on the block. ProTurf, it's a big company. We're talking lawn care, landscape, and irrigation service. Get that walk around scheduled. Do that at professionalturf.com.
John?
Thanks, Kenny. I'm already done. I'm all set up because my lawn the last 3 years, because of them, has looked great. So
yeah.
We're good. We're good
it's,
to go.
It's just, it's an amazing, the work they do.
Are you green already, John?
No. No, well, I mean, I'm signed up all the paperwork.
I see. Yeah.
They let you either pay four payments or just pay.
I got
right
it.
Away.
I
pay
got
right
it.
Be done with it.
In news, national and international news, congressional leaders and President Biden announcing a deal this morning to fund the government ahead of a weekend deadline. Again, the story that never ends. Speaker Mike Johnson announced the DHS deal in a statement saying it'll allow Congress to finish funding the government for the remainder of the fiscal year, which ends in September. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer echoing news of the agreement, saying both chambers are now in the process of finalizing text and reports for Congress to closely review and consider as soon as possible. Neither side revealing any details immediately. Congress will need to move quickly, though. Funding is set to expire Saturday morning for the Departments of State, Defense, Homeland Security, Labor and Health, and Human Services, and a host of other agencies. A majority of Supreme Court justices from both ends of the ideological spectrum appeared highly skeptical Monday about claims that the Biden administration crossed the line from persuasion to coercion when it told social media platforms to remove what they called problematic content. At issue is an injunction imposed by a federal judge currently on hold that would limit contacts between the government officials and social media companies on a wide variety of issues. During the oral arguments, justices across the spectrum questioned whether the conduct of government officials was unlawful and whether plaintiffs who brought the lawsuit could even show that they were directly harmed. Former President Trump suing ABC News and George Stephanopoulos. He filed yesterday alleging defamation over the anchor's questioning of Representative Nancy Mace about her endorsement of Trump. The March 10th interview on This Week made headlines after Mace accused Stephanopoulos of trying to shame her by probing why she endorsed the former president despite jury's recent verdicts against him in advice columnist E. Jean Carroll's sexual battery and defamation lawsuits. Trump's lawsuit takes aim at how Stephanopoulos, at multiple points in the questioning, said Trump had been found liable for rape. The jury had found Trump liable for sexual abuse under New York law, but not rape. Trump is asking for an unspecified amount of damages in the lawsuit. ABC declined to comment. Intermittent fasting, which has become very popular lately.
I never do it.
Nope, that's good because, well, we have a new study that says there might be reasons to be cautious about intermittent fasting.
Go ahead.
It found that some intermittent fasters were much more likely to die of heart disease.
Really?
The findings presented at an American Heart Association meeting in Chicago focused on a popular version of intermittent fasting that involves eating all your meals in just 8 hours or less, resulting in at least a 16-hour daily fast, commonly known as time-restricted eating. The study analyzed...
DRE.
The study analyzed data on the dietary habits of 20,000 adults across the U.S. who were followed from 2003 to 2018. They found that people who adhered to the 8-hour eating plan had a 91% higher risk of dying from heart disease.
Well, wait a minute. I'm getting very confused. Go ahead, John. We'll discuss it upon your conclusion of the story.
Compared to people who followed a more traditional dietary pattern of eating their food across 12 to 16 hours a day. That basically is it. There's more, but nothing.
Oh, wait a minute now.
Yes, sir.
So let's say you have supper. I still call it supper.
Yeah, supper, sure.
Let's say you're done with supper by 6 p.m.
Yeah.
I was always under the impression you shouldn't eat anything before you go to bed.
2 hours. After 8.
I don't eat after 6. Are you telling me that I'm
you got a family history of heart trouble or anything like that? Or
I don't want to get into that.
No. You're misunderstanding. This doesn't occur when you're sleeping. John's talking about during the day when you're awake. Here's the.
But if I eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
you're fine
within probably 8 hours.
No, you eat breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Yeah.
Lunch comes at mid-morning and mid-afternoon.
John's story is this jacks with your metabolism. That's basically what John's trying to tell you.
You want to keep the metabolism raging, right?
Yes.
Every 2 hours. Every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well, B as Snack in B. I'm not going to do that and sit here like you, a moron, eating a nut goody.
Listen, you old fart. Have a slice of Velveeta. You'll enjoy it.
No, listen. You know what I have in there? I've got a slice of cheese, pepper jack cheese, and I've got a little hard-boiled egg. Or that a small good. Orange. You just keep going with that.
Will good. We have hard-boiled eggs and nuts?
Yes, with marmalade for breakfast.
I
another,
have cookies.
Cookies?
John, I have jelly beans.
No, this is oh, not. That's God. Not,
that's not food.
I have M&Ms.
That's not
that
food.
That kind of is food.
I have
peanuts.
This guy.
That's not food.
I don't want to eat that.
John, John, straighten me out here. I'm sure I'm not the only one confused.
Well,
so let's say I have supper. I'm done at 6.
Yeah.
And then I don't eat again until 8 a.m.
Well, you're fine. That's 12 hours. This is 16 hours.
Boy, so I better make sure I never go 16.
That's
14, huh?
That's 14 hours, technically.
Oh, it is 14. My math was very bad there. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's not 16, though. You're right. It's under 16. So
14.
You should, though, when you get up in the morning, get yourself into a bit of water. Even before you start
first
in
thing
on the
you
coffee,
do is chug water.
Ice yeah. cold, ice before, cold water.
I like a nice coffee. Glass of water.
I yeah. drink when I'm thirsty.
I do. I drink when I'm thirsty.
It's too late. That means it's too late.
No, and then when dinner wrong. Rolls you're around wrong. At noon, some mashed potatoes and gravy, and you know
that's like dinner. Gravy. Kenny's right. That's dinner. And then later on in the afternoon, you get supper from Ma.
Maybe with them. Maybe with them. Maybe with them choppers, more mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
blended all together.
You didn't get the memo. We're not supposed to bring that up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, soup.
One other.
I'm done eating every day by 5 o'clock. We eat by 4:30.
What? And then when do you eat next?
Usually by 7 a.m. I've had
early.
Some breakfast.
Okay,
call me
early.
Now. When do you eat?
But I go to bed between 7:30 and 8.
I wonder if I get the time in the town.
Yeah.
I usually have some nuts and a yogurt in the evening.
I quit the post-dinner eating.
What about your cookies and milk at 10
no
o'clock?
More. No more.
Talk some more health and food
here's what
here.
We do. Usually, I'm done by maybe. About 6:25 with dinner. We watch a little Wheel of Fortune. The Bachelor comes on. Survivor.
Jeez. Joe, all what right. time do you get into the pot gummies? You're usually hitting them by 8 p.m., aren't
by 8
you?
8 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah.
I've sleep. Never had one. I don't want one.
Some other.
My some theory other on those
you,
is
but
let's
you could
leave
probably
well
use
enough
one.
Alone.
Jeremy, yeah. only give him positive health news because at his age, he'll just going to worry about it.
This is positive to me. If you don't like it, well, too damn bad. Okay. Dr. Poonam Desai, who's an emergency medical physician.
Is this the same
physician.
Story?
No, I said some different.
Oh.
If you guys would listen, everybody's talking. What the hell?
Right.
What?
Oh, everybody's anyway. Talking at me.
Yep.
Dr. Poonam Nielsen. Dr. Poonam Desai often shares health hacks on social media. Now, her latest video on TikTok, she's very popular, by the way, she revealed the vegetable she eats regularly to stay healthy.
Oh.
Raw onions.
Well, gross.
Wow.
She's living alone with her cats.
Onions contain something called quercetin, which mm-hmm. gives onions its powerful antioxidant and anti-inflammatory benefits.
Does she shave her underarms?
Good Lord,
you know, I bet she eats them like an apple. I've seen people do that.
Yeah, she offers a long list of health benefits, including reducing your risk of heart disease, reducing your risk of high cholesterol and prostate cancer. Natural compound in onion, well-researched, it's often used in functional nutrition and functional medicine to help pacify an overactive histamine response in the immune system. What kind of onions? My particular favorite, red onions. Sweet red onions in summer, best thing in the world.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Are they the bad ones? The stinky ones?
Well, they're sweet. They're,
no. What about those green onions that grow like carrots?
Those are okay too, but not as they don't have as many health benefits.
I heard beets are really good for you.
Beets are very good for you. Your Polish
people—they
love some beets, and they like to make their own because they're so cheap in their backyard.
Boom, boom.
Hey, I was preparing a meal the other night, and I was chopping onions.
Jesus!
And I had the onion in the refrigerator, and as I chopped the entire onion, no tears, no watery eyes, nothing. It's the first time that's ever happened. So put your onion in the fridge.
You're
and then
so
you thought about your.
Rigged.
Then you thought about your childhood, and then the tears started falling.
Yeah. Whole grade school thing and being bullied. And
well, I'm going to get me some red onions.
Never taken seriously.
I love onions.
The red ones in summer are really sweet, but for some reason they get a little more harsh in winter. I have no idea why. But fresh ones out of the garden, red ones in summer. You can eat them like an apple.
Snap peas.
Yes. Love some peas. Yep. Love them.
Yep. Joe, what do you like? Your turn.
Asparagus.
What?
Asparagus? Chris, your turn, Chris.
No, I'm staying out of it.
You know, Chris, the merits of asparagus can be.
Chris is out. I like asparagus.
Yeah.
Okay, next story. A black bag. I'm not talking about music or food anymore. Okay. A black bag stuffed with about $50,000 in cash discovered by volunteers tending to a garden.
Oh, I'm about to get angry, aren't I?
You are, yep. In a quiet San Francisco neighborhood last month. The workers unearthed the mystery bag, a duffel bag filled with wet, disintegrating $100 bills wrapped in red napkins. Volunteers with Garden for the Environment discovered the cache the late morning, February 28th, while working in the garden. It was in a planter box underneath a raw cover, which is used to protect crops growing in a plant bed. Maggie Marks is the executive director of the garden. She said they thought it was a lot of money, but I don't think they realized how much there was because the money was still wet and stuck together. Now, the volunteers sifted through what they could of the bills, and they had at least 50 grand there. Although some of the bills had fused from being exposed to the elements. So what did they do, Kenny? They called the police, of course.
The police bunch of got narcs there. And crybabies and tattletales.
Okay, stop, John. Stop. God, maybe I missed it. Sir. Were they working at a private home?
Oh, here we go. Let's complicate matters.
No, I'm going to solve this for you.
No, none of this matters.
My ruling might surprise you.
Really?
John, were they working at a private home?
It was a garden in a quiet San Francisco neighborhood. It's called the Inner Sunset. So I'm guessing it was a garden at some sort of home, either old folks or group home or something of that nature.
I know Bob would have kept the money. Bob would have had no problem keeping the money.
My I'm thinking I'm keeping that money.
Yeah.
Well, they did.
Is that
they
common
called
service?
It's not traceable.
I mean, I know it's greater than $5, but is that common surface savings and loan?
How much was it?
50 grand.
Oh, wait.
You got 43 to the good.
Even better, Joe. I think you're right now because I just read further here. It was a community garden. So it's where everybody has
I'm keeping the money.
Yeah.
At that point, I think you keep it. Police confirmed the discovery and told the Standard that officers examined the area where the bag was found, booked the money as evidence. Still not clear where the money came from or how it ended up in the planter box in the garden. It speculated it may be related to the Lunar New Year celebrations that occurred the weekend before. Mark said the discovery has made both volunteers and staff a little uneasy since nobody knows where the money came from.
Okay, here's another thing. I know what I'd do.
What would you do?
Keep it. Don't spend it. And then look in the area for signs saying, a reward offered for my lost backpack of $50,000.
Nobody's going to do that. Stupid. It's been down there too long.
What?
What the hell?
Why am I stupid?
You get that thing, you shove it under your coat, and you snake out of there like the criminal you are, and you disappear.
I'll go one step further.
You hide that money. That's fun money.
What if it's some old lady's life savings?
It's tough.
Then what you do is you kind of keep a discreet watch over the garden.
That's what I do.
Yes. You grab a nice baseball bat or lead pipe.
No.
And if somebody starts poking around in there looking for you just club them right over the head and drag them into the garage and throw them in a dumpster.
Reavers, what's this challenge you put on Twitter last night?
Yes.
We've done that one before.
It was just it was an oldie but a goodie.
Okay, see if I got it. Ask me.
Well, first of all, you didn't, but I'll repeat it for those that are...
Joe, we did this already. It's about 6 months ago.
No, we did the bat and the ball. I don't remember doing this one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we did this one.
So, a man took a $100 bill from a shop.
Okay, in other words, he stole it?
He stole a $100 bill
from a shop. Now he's got $100 in his pocket.
He then uses the money to buy $70 worth of goods from the same shop. The shop owner hands him back $30 in change. How much money did the shop owner lose?
I said $130, but I think the answer is $200.
It's $100.
What?
It's $100.
No. No, because he's still out $30 from his original $100 that got stolen.
He's initially out the $100.
Yeah.
He gets $70 back.
The guy comes in and buys brooms and shovels and some stuff. Dots,
a toothbrush.
Dots pretzels. And he gets $70. He gets $30 back.
Right.
So the shopkeeper's still out $30 from his original $100.
Isn't he out $60? $30 and $30?
Or $7. Seven
no, he's got $70 worth of goods right. in his possession.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
$30 in change.
Yeah. Merchandise.
Which is $100 worth of stuff. How much money did the shop owner lose? He lost $70 in merchandise and $30 in cash.
Merchandise doesn't matter.
It says how much money did the shop owner lose?
I'm with Kenny.
$100
doesn't matter.
John, we did this on Krabby, I think.
No, we did it on GL.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, but see, right. I knew that posting this to social media would get the reaction it did. Because you took the hook and so did so many
GLs. I took the hook and said $130.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on.
Hold on.
So if you got $100, you spend $70, you get $30 back, right?
Yep.
Okay? So far, the guy's out
$30.
$30.
Yep. No, then, John, you're missing the fact that he stole the $100 bill right. from the shop.
Right.
The shop's out $100. He goes and he spends $70.
Yeah.
He gets $30 back from the $100 bill. So far he's taken $100 from him, and he's taken $30 from him. So that's $130.
But he has $130.
But the $100 he has back in the till.
He's got $70 back in the till.
That's what I'm saying. $60,
right?
The guy has $70 worth of merchandise and $30 in cash.
No, merchandise doesn't count. I'm with Kenny. That you can't count the merchandise.
But he would have sold those goods for $70.
But what's your name?
Chris.
Chris.
It doesn't say anything about merchandise. It asks you about. Read the question again. I think it only references money.
A man took a $100 bill from a shop. He then uses the money to buy $70 worth of goods from the same shop. The shop owner hands him back $30 in change. Yeah. How much money did the shop owner lose?
$130.
I said $130. Now bright people like me are coming up with the same answer.
Wait, is it $30? Maybe it's just $30.
He gets $70 back, though. From the $100 bill.
But he's out $70 worth of goods that the guy technically didn't pay for.
Not counting the goods, Chris.
It's $100.
Can I tell you something in all honesty? It's not a bit when I don't get the ball and bat and glove thing.
I'm sorry to admit it, but it isn't with me either. I don't get it.
I don't understand
the bat
the ball.
And ball again, Chris.
Although there is a good response, and I'm glad you brought this up, because Pillboy on Twitter has the perfect answer. If the shop is in Hennepin County, he serves no time for any of the theft.
Yeah, that's clever.
Yes.
But it doesn't get us anywhere further down the road. We're stuck here.
How about Dave's answer on Twitter? The bat cost 90 cents.
Do the bat and ball again.
Oh, my God.
I'm with Kenny. I'm sorry.
A bat and a ball costs $1.10 total.
Yep.
The bat costs exactly $1 more than the ball. How much is each worth?
The bat was $1 and the ball was $10.
Nope.
Yep. Right there.
That's 90 cents more.
Buck.
It's $1.05.
$1.05.
Yep. The bat was $1.05 and the ball was 5 cents.
Linda Keller is the person that handles my taxes, and now you know why.
And she's screaming at her phone right now listening to this segment.
Yeah.
A this bat is and why ball costs $1.10.
Yep.
Yes, it
does. A bat costs 90 cents.
Mm-hmm. No.
What? No.
The bat is $1.05. The ball
bat's
is
$1.05. No. How much?
The original riddle you want.
But the original riddle.
Yeah. The bat and the ball cost a combined $1.10. The bat is worth $1 more than the ball.
Worth $1 more
than the ball.
Then the ball's worth 10 cents.
No.
5 cents
for the ball.
And 5 cents.
$1.05 for the bat. Because it's $1 more than.
It would be 90 cents more than the way you set it up, Joe.
I think I'm getting it, Kenny. You know what I'm going to do? Kenny, I'm getting it.
Here's what I'm going to say, Joe. I get it now, and I'm just going to move on with my life. Even though I might not get it, I get it.
Quiet for 10 minutes saying, yeah, I got it.
I have a question. If I wanted to book a vacation, rookie.
I know where I would want to go. I'd want to go anywhere.
And if I only had $1.10 for my vacation fund.
No, I can't quite guarantee you it costs $1.10 to go to Croatia, but you will be on the beautiful Croatian coast, skimming up and down, great swim spots to stop at. If you've been sitting on your $50,000 that you buried in the garden,
yes,
take out some of those old $100 bills before they're completely gone and do something fun in your life. Join us at Escape With Us Vacations. There's a Croatian cruise coming up this summer in July. Maybe you wanted to go, but you didn't know what you'd be doing this summer. Maybe you got a bigger tax return than they thought you would. If you've been wanting to experience an incredible destination while sailing the Adriatic Sea on an 18-cabin yacht, private yacht, this is the trip that you've been waiting for. I've got several family members that are going. I can't wait to go. 7 nights on the Adriatic Queen, sailing side by side the king. Breakfast, lunch, and a Croatian town every day with plenty of swim stops. We are going to have the time of our
swim
lives.
Swim steps?
Yep. Swim stops.
Stops.
Yeah, if you can walk on water like Jesus, you can do swim steps, but otherwise it's just going to be a stop. Escape With Us Vacations has just a few cabins left on this bucket list yacht adventure, so call Maria or Teresa today, 651-788-4338, and a huge thank you to the GLers that have reached out to Escape With Us Vacations for all of their travel needs. Maria and Teresa said, you're the best customers to work for by far. Visit escapewithusvacations.com and let them know you want to go to Croatia. It's a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Here we are.
Truth, justice, and the suture.
Say, my new garage door guys, the entire family, Precision Garage Door of the Twin Cities in western Wisconsin, a GL family, the best part of course. Well, there's many best parts. One of the best parts is they don't charge more for weekends. And if you've ever been stung on a weekend service call by a garage door company, you know how meaningful this can be. And they take care of everything, the springs, the rollers. They'll help you with that app in your car that has you confounded. New garage door, not a problem. They help you with that, and then they install it expertly. And they keep you informed. If they're 30 minutes away, they tell you, and then you have time to get out there and set up your chair and newspaper and coffee, and then
lemonade.
You can shoot the breeze with the guy and drive him crazy while he's doing the work. And generally speaking, they have everything they need in the truck. They also try to avoid that. I got to run back to the shop right moment.
You're still on the clock.
What you don't want to experience. They want to get you taken care of the first time they make the visit. You can find out more at precisiondoormn.com. That's precisiondoormn.com. Or call them. Put this number in your contacts, and then you'll always have it. 612-263-6985, Precision Door MN. I have another note about money. We were talking about the ball and the bat.
Mm-hmm. I got to share an email very quickly about that. This is from Kent, the Riddle. He's a town council member.
Yeah.
The shop owner is out $200. The original $100, the $70 in merch, and the $30 in change. The merch has to be included because the shop owner originally bought it.
Well, I'd go. I'll go $200 or $130.
Okay. Kent is wrong. I politely submit that Kent is wrong because the shop owner didn't pay $70 for that merchandise. He paid probably $45 for that merchandise. He marked it up.
Markup, yeah. Classic.
So,
that's why we shouldn't include the merchandise.
It's a classic
Correct.
Markup.
Correct. So, Kent, back to the drawing board.
Way to go, Chris.
Last week, you mentioned a $100 million legislative bill for universal basic income. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
One more indication of our state's fiscal irresponsibility. As I understand it, UBI was meant to establish an equal payment made to every individual, regardless of need, which is what makes it universal. no exceptions, and no unequal payments. The rationale has been that each person can then have their basic needs funded and no longer be concerned about food or shelter while pursuing or not pursuing whatever employment they so choose to either increase their income or employ themselves in a minimally profitable trade that they enjoy. Ignoring the most obvious flaws in this philosophy, how far would a $100 million go in Minnesota? Assume not $1 is lost to administration, and estimating the population of Minnesota at 5.7 million people, each person would receive $17.50 a year if $100 million is spent each year. If you only give the money to adults and estimate Minnesota's adult population at 4.3 million adults, each person would receive $23.26 per year. There are only four interpretations I can make regarding this moronic proposal. One, the legislator sponsors actually believe this will make a difference. Two, the supporting legislators know this won't make a difference, but want to whet the public's appetite for spending larger sums on UBI by starting with the less repulsive $100 million and later make increases. Three, the supporting legislators know it makes no difference, but they think it helps for November's election. Four, the Kenny version and the darkest of all. The supporters of this legislation know that it won't provide any meaningful money to the public, but know that they can stretch $100 million in other ways by hiring friends or shell companies to distribute the funding, less administrative expenses, reminiscent of the Montana company this last time that did your bonus checks, remember?
That's right.
Or perhaps simply hiring several friends at a few $100,000 each. It's sad to say that this $100 million proposal would be only a drop in the bucket of the state's $58 billion budget, but how do you think we got here? Not by shocking billion-dollar proposals, but by attrition. A couple of million here, a couple of million there, and suddenly we have such a colossal budget, the small sums quickly go forgotten. Hear, hear. That's right.
Hear, hear.
That's right. And speaking of government gigs, the state of Arizona has hired a heat advisor.
Yeah. Is it heat miser from?
It's a heat advisor. I guess they'll tell you if it's hot.
How did they get along before this?
I don't know. They've had some hot weather there in the desert.
Yeah, occasionally.
Now they have a heat advisor.
So well, thank goodness.
I could file a report.
Somebody making, you know, 150 grand plus benefits to say.
To say, oh, wow.
Man, is it hot.
All I'm thinking about is, you guys remember the show Family Guy? Remember the weather guy? Damn, it's hot! And then they'd go back to the news desk. That's all I'm picturing with this guy in that role. Do you like Family Guy?
I can say with some pride that I've not seen that.
Family Guy?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Family Guy's a good one.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Only because they come to us. We're brought to you by Renewal by Anderson.
Let's go.
For the world's best windows. Only because they come to us all the way.
From where?
Well, Matt, that would be Lake Las Vegas, Nevada.
That's right.
And the traveling Lymans at worldwidewaftage.com. It was on this day.
Joe, today is March 19th.
In 1849, Aaron Goodrich was appointed Chief Justice of the Minnesota Territory.
Huh.
I bet that's where you get Goodrich Avenue.
I guess.
On this day,
March 19th.
In 1867, a treaty signed in Washington established the White Earth Reservation for the Ojibwe, and the transfer of the Mississippi Ojibwe to the sites begins June 14th. The leader, Bagon Quizhig, Hole in the Day the Younger, wanting no mixed bloods on the reservation, tried to block their relocation. Bad relations resulted from this policy, and Bagon Quizhig was assassinated on June 27, 1868, near his home in Crow Wing.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about this.
On this day,
319.
In 1880, a pedestrian bridge connecting Fort Snelling to St. Paul was completed. Mm. All right. And on this day,
March 19th.
In 1992, Rebecca Rand, Minnesota's best-known brothel operator, pled guilty in Ramsey County District Court to three prostitution-related felonies and agreed to turn her buildings over to the authorities, as well as pay $200,000 to settle a civil forfeiture suit. She observed, "I went through so many years without a pimp or anyone taking my money. Now the government decided to do that."
Interesting.
Which one of her buildings was your guys' favorite?
I like the one that downtown. That would be
38th and Cedar.
I like the one on Dale and University.
Well, that was a little more seedy. Yeah, they didn't finish the renovations before she got caught.
John, will you please see her? Have we lost Rebecca Rand? Is she with us? I wonder. R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Rebecca Rand.
I was going to comment on the notable death of Johnny Appleseed in 1885.
But, Matt, that didn't happen here. I'm doing this day in history here.
This is notable life history.
I know, Matt.
See how I bought the time?
But don't introduce it to this. This is a special event.
So you hate apples.
A special event.
I have something that goes along with this.
Done with this today. There's another day.
Who do you have?
All of this was going on. There was a very fun T-shirt that said, "Free country, free speech, free Ferris," in regards to Ferris Alexander.
Ferris Alexander.
Yeah.
What was that called? It was the...
the hell was that? It was a movie theater.
Yeah. Faust.
The Faust.
Faust Theater.
Yeah. John, is Rebecca still with us?
I have not been able to find anything about Rebecca past 1992, so I will continue to look.
Slammer? Well, you'd think we would have noted her passing in the event she did.
She was a pretty young woman, though, it looks like, in 92.
Searching. On this day,
March 19th,
in 2020, an elderly Ramsey County resident became the first Minnesota to what? First Minnesotan to what? On this day, in 2020, an elderly Ramsey County resident became the first Minnesotan to
engage in prostitution.
No. It has to be COVID-related.
Died from COVID.
Yeah.
God, that
was 4 years ago. Yeah, there's all sorts of articles, but there's nothing on, no reason.
What was her last name? Rebecca what? I'm sorry.
Rand, R-A-N-D.
I did find Rebecca Rand, Kirshner? Age 76.
That'd be about right, huh?
In Stillwater.
That might be our friend Rebecca.
I don't know if
homemaker.
More
than
a homemaker. Rand.
Homemaker.
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 A good guest on the new Krabby. Let me write that down.
Is there going to be a new Krabby?
If our boss ever gets off his ass. Yeah.
Is John going to be part of it?
No, John's been fired.
No,
John. That I'm aware of, so I guess not.
Well, GLers.
Well, for this TransparencyUSA.org website, Rebecca Rand gave $2,500 to Keith Ellison for Attorney General.
Really?
I don't know if it's the same or not.
How many Rebecca Rands are there?
Probably not that many.
Hopefully two, so we don't get sued.
By the way, I don't think Rebecca had I don't think she owned the Faust.
No, she did.
No, that was Ferris.
That was
Ferris Bueller, right?
Alexander.
Hey, if you can't get enough of Garage Logic, you should join the thousands of GLers.
Yeah, you never know what you'll see.
Found us on YouTube. Got to tell you, we had an all-timer yesterday. Just search for the Garage Logic podcast and subscribe for near daily content, including behind-the-scenes content, full segments, and video shorts. That's Garage Logic podcast on YouTube. It is time once again that we check in with our guy, Mr. Money Talk. Josh Arnold is with us once again here in Garage Logic, and now's the time for you to do the same. So do not delay. Do exactly what I did and pick up that phone and dial 952-925-5608. That number once again is 952-925-5608. You call that number, you get Josh, and he is there for you for that free 48-minute financial consultation with absolutely zero obligation, and he's on the line with us once again here in Garage Logic. And I know, Josh, today you do want to touch on the Fed. However, there's some pretty big news in terms of news about NVIDIA and Google and Apple might combine. What is this all about, Josh?
Google and Apple are not going to be combining. You misinterpreted me.
Darn it, here I thought we were going to make headlines today, Josh.
That's like listening to former President Trump give a speech in Ohio in the middle of automobile country saying that there's going to be a bloodbath. mainstream media and all the liberal pundits think that he's ready to call for a new revolution. Oh, my goodness. Does anybody listen to anything beyond the headlines or a soundbite? Who said no better than that?
You're right.
An Apple merging. That is not going to be happening. Or maybe I could say maybe not in my lifetime, but we never, ever know with that. No, Google had for decades a deal with Apple where Google provides the default search engine for Apple products. Google pays Apple a very nice fee for that. Over the weekend, it was announced by Bloomberg. A Bloomberg news report said that Apple and Google could reach a deal on Apple using Google's Gemini AI product, that's artificial intelligence product, for Apple's push into generative artificial intelligence. Now, Apple has had artificial intelligence going for a long time. Witness what they do with their Siri product. Witness also what goes on with Apple Music and several other Apple sites. Now, Apple calls that machine learning, but machine learning is generative artificial intelligence, but it is not, we'll say, at the level that Google's Gemini AI product is, or Microsoft's deal with OpenAI and their ChatGPT. So this is in a very advancing field. My sense is that as part of Google's default search deal with Apple, Apple is going to be getting generative AI through the Gemini AI product. So I just think it's an extension of that particular deal. It is a positive for both Google and a positive for Apple, because it definitely saves Apple a lot of money in terms of developing their own product when they can use a product that's already up and running, though it does have some kinks yet. Do be aware that generative AI will spit out data that's already available. So bad data in, bad data out. But generative AI is going to be transformative, no doubt about that. And it will definitely help all kinds of professions and will save you a lot of time and money as it progresses. And I will call it part of the Internet 3.0. Meantime, the power behind a lot of this generative AI is coming from super high-speed chips that are currently being manufactured primarily, or the leading company with this is NVIDIA. NVIDIA's stock has been on a tear with the use of their high-speed chips for generative AI, and it's being utilized in a lot of data centers, and they are making a lot of money, not to mention there is tremendous hype about this, which has pushed up NVIDIA's stock. It's over $900 a share, though. NVIDIA is down today on a sell the news situation. Unfortunately, my clients have been out of NVIDIA for $350 a share, getting out just over $500 before their last earnings call. I felt then, and I think today, the stock is still expensive on a price to sales and a price to earnings basis, particularly for a chip company. That's not to say that NVIDIA can't keep going up, because sell side analysts have been busy raising their price target. Nonetheless, he should be paying attention to the uses of and the companies that are going to benefit generative AI. And right now, there's a whole host of companies that'll do that. Among them, favorites Apple, Amazon, of course, Google, Microsoft, and Meta, also known as Facebook, as examples, period. We have the Fed in their March meeting. Don't expect a lot of fireworks. Keep in mind, higher for longer, which could continue through the end of the year. As now people, actually a few analysts are starting to say, hey, the Fed may not cut this year. And quite frankly, that might be a good thing, because it means the economy is still doing reasonably well and inflation is still coming down. Lastly, we've got Nike and Lululemon reporting their numbers on Thursday. Going to be very interesting to look at how consumers have been reacting to upper end, and I will say upper end, purchases for athletics. We'll have more on that later this week.
Excellent report, Mr. Money Talk, as usual. Well, you heard him, GLers. Now's the time for you to pick up the phone and make the call for that free, yes, I said free, 48-minute financial consultation by dialing 952-925-5608, where you always get straight talk and never, ever sugar-coated advice. Josh, as always, thank you so much for the time and the chat. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday.
We will look forward to that. Thanks, Chris.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Chris Reavers is a paid endorser.